Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Being Friday, our visiting critic today is Adam Harris. He is one of the talented Harris family from Greystones in County Wicklow, and he's the boss of the autism charity As I Am, which has a nationwide profile, very quickly actually, for a young charity, because he works extremely hard on it. And you'll have heard Adam before, but not like this morning, because today we're going to chat about what we sent him to review in his discomfort zone, which turned out to be sound bathing. So sound bathing, if you're feeling addled or if you're kind of through other, beside yourself, you go into a room and they treat you with this sort of a thing. Oh, chills there. Are you feeling any better now? Feeling sleepy? Kind of distressed. Very worrying sound, actually. So we'll find out how Adam got on anyway, sound bathing and things like that. And also, while the world was frantically searching for Rosie O'Donnell in Ireland, particularly after her mention in the Oval Office meeting, famous one last week, Adam Harris found himself inadvertently at the centre of that worldwide search. Now, he wasn't looking for Rosie O'Donnell, but it turns out she was looking for him. And we'll reveal all later on this morning. Very excited about that. However, now, as you know, the news is crowded out today by that electrical substation fire at Heathrow Airport in London this morning. It has closed one of the world's busiest airports, having an enormous effect everywhere, but also an extraordinary effect on this country today. If you've been caught up in airline pain, by the way, going in one direction or t'other, let us know. 51551 is the text. There are 70 flights affected to and from our shores. And on top of that, we're hearing lots of planes that are coming from America to Britain, to Heathrow, are now landing at Shannon, because passengers are only learning when they land there that they're not getting to Britain today via Heathrow. I'm sure it's the same in Dublin and in Belfast as well. So those passengers have had their day ruined in one way, but they're maybe having an unscheduled stop in Ireland that could just save it. One of them is Steve Bruce. He's from Derby. That's in the English Midlands. And he's on the line. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, and good morning to you, you lovely Irish people.
Oh, fantastic. It's going well so far. You've been waylaid in Shannon Airport in beautiful County Clare. Where exactly are you right now?
We're on the tarmac, on the stand. We've just been moved off the runway. We landed at 4:30.
And
we're just sitting there. They're checking the suitcases off as we speak, so I can see that coming up now.
You're on the plane, still on the plane, since 4:30
this morning. Still on the plane, yeah. I'm looking at some very busy men on the ground.
Oh,
and some ladies,
dear.
To be fair, yeah, they're working very hard.
What have you been told now? What's happening to you and everyone on that plane?
Well, we've been told we'll be disembarking very soon, and we'll get more information when we get to the departures.
Okay, and where were you flying from?
Was flying from Boston.
We're coming from Boston. There's a plane load of Boston people. You're going to come off the plane soon. My goodness, you'll need to. You must be. Have you been given food? Are you getting water? What?
They've been brilliant. Yeah, they've been brilliant. To be fair, they've been your water around, food around. Actually, I think they've run out now. I'm not sure, but yeah, they've been really good. It's the people that's got the connecting flights that we feel for, and the children on board. There's a lot of people. I've got a young man from America, 20 years old. He was on his way to Berlin. He's missed that connector now.
Oh wow. Well, it's nearly been 5 hours, and the plane is the mood very addled? I'm sure people are distressed and frustrated.
People are being very calm, to be fair. There's 12 other planes on the ground here. So there's an extra 2,000 people coming into Shannon today. I don't know what's going to happen there.
I know, more and more planes. You were flying home, obviously, coming from Boston. How many are in your group, Steve?
So originally we flew into Nashville, had a great time there in Nashville, Tennessee, and we flew up to Boston. There's 11 of us, middle-aged men. It was one of the boys' 40th birthday.
Oh, my God. Not your birthday.
Not mine, no. I'm 60, so I'm an old man.
That's a young age still, Steve.
Yeah.
So you had a great time in Nashville. You were heading home. Could you possibly be staying in Limerick tonight? Do you know what's going to happen now?
We haven't got a clue, because my train of thought is, will there be enough places to stop with 2,000 people being in? I don't know.
We're
up for anything. If we can get a train to Dublin and fly from there, I don't know. We'll have a look.
Lots to do in Limerick City as well, which is not far from where you are at the moment.
Well, you know what?
For 11 lads on a party.
Love to. We've sampled the Irish way in St. Patrick's Day in Boston last week, so it was really good.
Very good. Very good. Well, you sound very upbeat for a man. I think I'd be driven demented at this stage.
Yeah, but we will hit the wall sooner or later. But at the moment, everything's okay.
Did you know...
It's a beautiful day here,
I presume flying through the night, nobody on the plane knew what was happening at Heathrow.
We had no idea. It was only when the captain came out, he said, in an hour's time, we'll be landing at Shannon. And we was all like, wow. And most people were asleep, so they had to re-announce it later on.
Oh, my God.
So we touched down at Shannon, and it was like cold, misty. And now we're looking out the window. It's a beautiful day at the moment. Beautiful morning, so...
It is.
Yeah,
so far.
Forward. Things can always be worse.
Things could be worse, but things, the planes are, you don't know really what's happening with other planes, how many are landing, because we're all searching for information at the moment.
We've got 12 planes on the ground here, all big jumbos, all come from America. A lot of the American flights turned around. Then behind us turned around and went back. We was
the
last one to land.
Okay. Yes, so some of them were coming across the Atlantic, turned around, went back, and the ones that were further along.
We was the last one. We was at the end of the tail. Then behind us turned around and went back. So,
yeah.
I believe the same things happened in Emirates as well. There's a lot of Asian flights gone back.
Of course, yes. Well, it's incredible because it's such a massive, busy airport, Heathrow. It is having an effect everywhere. We have a texter already, Steve, asking, is he the Steve Bruce that played for Man United?
No. He's the ugly one. I'm the pretty one. No. I get that all the time, to be fair. Yeah.
You're in great spirits, I have to say, considering the pain that it is. But as maybe that's also coming
to
60 and realizing what's difficult, what's worth complaining about. But listen, you could finish the 40th birthday in Limerick. There are lots of lovely pubs there. Dolan's we could recommend. South's pub is a place
Dolan's,
to go. But if you get into Shannon Airport, they'll send you even to Donkey Ford's in Limerick City for a burger. You're scattered, are you, from your friends? You can't actually chat to each other, I gather.
Not at the moment. We're all over the place. So some of the boys are together. It's Matthew Carr's 40th, so big shout out for Matt. And we're all scattered, but the letters walk around and stretch your legs, etc. So we're all talking to each other.
Very good.
And people, strangers have sat next to each other and now friends, so that's how it works.
Wow. Okay, that's it sounds like a lovely novel. Someone's saying, I hope the people, the passengers stuck in Shannon, can get a nice tour of County Clare, that's where you are, Steve, and maybe visit the Cliffs of Moher, which I'm sure you may have heard of. That's from.
We'll try and cram everything in. We'll try and do it all. One of them wants to go fishing, so there you go.
Whatever will be, says you.
Yeah, case for all. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you. Not Man United Steve Bruce, but enjoy your day, and I hope it all calms down and everybody, the patience is rewarded. It's something nice. Good luck. Good luck for the day. And good luck to everybody.
Okay, then. Thanks for
bye-bye. Thank you so much, Steve. And good luck to everybody who's was planning to go to and from Heathrow today, and God knows what state they're going to be in for the afternoon. God, that's me. The news is at least that the fire, they don't suspect foul play. So it was an electrical issue that happened there. It is Friday, so you focus on the good news. Good news at last as well. Speaking of football, for the boys in green, had a rare enough win last night. It was a poor enough Bulgaria side, if we're honest. But we won 2-1 last night, and it was in the UEFA Nations League playoff first leg and counter away. And we're watching this stuff closely now because, of course, we have World Cup qualifiers coming up starting in the autumn. That's for the US-Mexico-Canada World Cup, which is happening next year. And so far in our group, Hungary and Armenia. And it'll be either Portugal or Denmark joining us. I think we'll find out actually soon enough if we haven't already. But the first goal scorer, I noticed last night, was a fella called Finn Azaz. And it was his debut goal in a green shirt. And I was looking him up. He's a very interesting character. He's a Middlesbrough player. He's only 24 years of age. And he started the year, and his wish list was promotion to the Premier League win. With Middlesbrough. That's not looking good. I think they're eighth in the championship table at the moment. And helping Ireland towards qualification. So he scored that goal. And he's an interesting fellow because he does voluntary work, or has done very recently voluntary work in a hospice. So he spent 18 months on loan from Aston Villa, from Plymouth Argyle. And every Wednesday he spent the whole day volunteering at St Luke's Hospice in that area in England, where they provide end-of-life and palliative care to cancer among patients. And he said He went looking for this charity work. He didn't know what a hospice was until he went there. This, you know, he's 24 years of age. And he said he would push the drinks trolley. He would do some admin work for them as well and become friends with the patients. Sometimes he ended up going to the houses of the patients. Obviously, they're in palliative care. And he would go to their original family homes, meet the wives and the children and chat to them. And he did this all quietly. And then he realised, as someone suggested, you could raise some money for the hospice, so that he did that. And he said he dedicated his work to his grandmother, who was Yaffa Azaz. And she died only 2 years ago. She was the age of 91, huge influence on him. And she said she had care at home and felt that people should get a dignified death, basically. What are his connections to Ireland? Well, a very strong one. His father is a Cork man. Tim Hudson, Hudson is his name. And he says his uncle, that's his Brian Murphy, was an outstanding dual player for Cork, and this is what he believes brought his sporting prowess to him. It comes from the Irish side of his family. On the other side of his family, the Azaz is his mum's name, and she's an Israeli citizen. And Yaffa Azaz, her mother, was in the Israeli army as a general and came to England and built an extremely successful business by herself. And she was a young woman, so going back 60, 70 years. The conflict in the Middle East, needless to say, is something he doesn't want to get into, but said he's very proud of his Irish-Israeli heritage and has spent a lot of time in both of those countries. He is, I think, a fascinating character. Signed for Middlesbrough full-time a year ago, and he's still on the up and up. And if he scores goals in an Irish shirt, no bother to him, says you. Now, this is also connected because connected to the hopeful story, because we're in the doldrums at the minute, the Irish men's team. And in The Athletic yesterday, that's the sports mag in the New York Times, there was an eye-catching article about the upcoming talent for Ireland, which is on the verge of exploding. And they talk about it in the space of 10 days in February. Tottenham Hotspurs announced the future signing of Irish striker Mason Melia for the League of Ireland record, 1.9 million. Michael Noonan of Shamrock Rovers scored the winner in the UEFA Conference League tie in Slovakia. Trent Cone-Doherty made his debut for Liverpool. And Iko Uratsi made his debut in Ligue 1, that's in France. And they're pointing out that Noonan is 16, Amelia and Arazi are 17, Cone-Doherty is 18. And then they talk further about Spurs signing George Feeney, who was 16, from Glentoran. The transfer came as young O'Neill, who's 16. He moved from Linfield to Arsenal. And Braden Graham, at 15, became Linfield's youngest ever player, left for Everton. And they're asking, is something happening with the Irish boys? They're saying it's a complex picture, but the answer from managers, recruitment staff, sporting and academy directors is mixed. A little critical at times, reticent, but quietly hopeful that something would happen if these teenagers come to the fore, because they're getting first team experience and exposure at a very unusually young age. And that, you know, would feed through to the squad, wouldn't it, in 5 to 10 years' time, I suppose. And how the post-Brexit landscape is an opportunity, because they continue playing in the League of Ireland due to the new rules until they're 18 years of age. So I thought it was fascinating and something to be hopeful about, I'm sure. Now, more importantly, what's happening right now? Well, it's a big sporting weekend. Rugby continues. It didn't end well for the boys in green, but what about the girls in green? Ireland and France, they begin the 2025 Women's Six Nations at Ravenhill Stadium in Belfast tomorrow. That's at 1 p.m. The Guardian are reviewing all the teams. Obviously, England will be expected to have the same result with 5 wins from 5. They're expected to win all 5 of their matches, which would be a 7th consecutive Six Nations trophy for them, largely because they've been professional longer than the other teams. By the way, they're nicknamed the Red Roses, England, whereas in New Zealand, the All Blacks are the men and the women are the Black Ferns. And this is relevant to us because obviously Ireland this time last year were expected to do very poorly in the Six Nations. We started badly, but then it became good, finished 3rd in the end, and had quite an amazing couple of wins there towards the end. And then again in September, we produced one of the most famous shocks ever, defeating the world champions New Zealand 29-27. And that was when the big losses for Ireland were expected in the autumn tournament, but proved all the naysayers wrong. So we'll watch out for the Irish team tomorrow. We've been doing well under the coach Scott Beamond, I think it is, and because he's helped us qualify for the World Cup this summer, which is happening in England from August. So it's a big, big year for women's rugby, and yeah, it's going well. So we defeated the USA as well last September, finished 3rd in the Six Nations last year. A team in flight, says The Guardian, which makes their opener tomorrow against a shaky France in the 2025 competition very interesting indeed. Ireland-France, it's live on RT2 television at 1 p.m. p.m. Lyra, by the way, is playing the halftime show, so they seem to be on the money in terms of getting the atmosphere up and running. And unlike the men's team, the women's home matches are generally played. They spread them across Belfast, Dublin and Cork, where they land. So that's good news. Some texts coming in for Steve Bruce, who was trapped in that plane since 4:30 this morning, and he's coming off it now in Shannon. Says, I want an update on him on Monday, what he does for the weekend. Yes, he should, I think, fall to Ireland, and Tourism Ireland would be the more appropriate one getting in touch there. Maybe he should call the layover in Shannon a Brucey bonus, which is Bruce Forsyth. Steve Bruce at 60, he would get that reference. He would surely. Steve and his pals could even go up to Galway for a night out. It's a long road now, I have to say. It's a long road at the minute up towards Galway. Limerick would be much closer, but as the Clare people get in a touch, there's so much to do in Clare. And sure, the Burren, we were promoting here only last week. If they're still listening, Steve, sure, get in touch with us again, because the listeners are going to let us know. Careful now. Shannon is indeed close to Limerick, and the people grounded in Shannon today might well choose to travel the 27 kilometres to Limerick, or they could stay in County Clare and go 27 kilometres to Ennis. Someone has been on Google Maps this morning. Thank you, Alan, in Wexford. It's amazing you didn't promote that. And sure, if there was a good road to Cork, those people would be in touch as well. But they're still waiting on the road. They are still trapped in every town and place along there, getting to and from. Other news of Irish people doing well on the global stage. U2 have made history, the first Irish songwriters to be awarded an Ivors Academy Fellowship. Bono, Larry Mullen Jr., Adam Clayton and The Edge will receive the highest honour that the organisation bestows. Who's won this? Elton John, Kate Bush, The Beatles and Bruce Springsteen are all fellows. And Bono, who's now 64, would you believe, said, we were a band before we could play. In fact, our inability to play other people's songs is what kicked off our own songwriting. I just like he's got a unique voice in speech and song. So there you go. Is that to do with the Ivor Novello? The Ivors Academy, I presume it is. I presume it's something to do with that. And they will take place at the Grosvenor House in London on, would you believe, it's been cut off at the end of the page. The sub-editors, you know, we needed them. I'll never know now. Look it up. I'm sure look it. We don't have time. By the way, if you're looking out your windows, don't wash the windows. Friday's going to see Saharan dust and rain to bring it down onto your windows and your car. This is according to the amateur meteorologist Carlo Weather online. So watch out for that. Oh yeah, today, because it's going to rain later on this afternoon. Basically showers and so on.